Welcome back to the Loose Ballers on your Wednesday afternoon. Today, Dil Buckley and myself sit down and talk about the perspective of the AFL Grand Final from a Victorian who's stuck in lockdown. We talk about the Carlton coach, what you need in a coach. We talk about what job you were offered post-football, of course, off the back of Sean Burgoyne and the many jobs he would have landed across his desk. And then we finish with a bit of a preview or... That's not much a preview, just a quick tip on who we think wins this weekend's game. And of course, the Loose Balls is brought to you by Mazda and the brand new BT50. It's the complete package. Good afternoon, Dil Buckley. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you, my friend. Very much looking forward to this show today. Lots to talk about.
Absolutely plenty, mate. I'm absolutely knackered, though. I've just been to the zoo with the two little kids, and I was sort of saying off air to you, just make sure that when you are ready to have kids, just really, really think it through. Are you ready to have kids? Because took one pram, and the two-year-old decided he didn't want to walk for the second half of the zoo, and he was on the shoulders, and I was carrying a baby and pushing a pram. So, I'm absolutely rooted, and the eyelids could close any time. So, you a zoo man?
I love the zoo. As I get older, I realize how fucked up zoos actually are. Like, when you think about it, you're bringing in these animals that are from all over the world. You're putting them in one place that they're just not meant to be. And I don't want to soften your day or anything or ruin it, but it realistically isn't ethically okay.
Mate, it's shocking. You don't like centrions.
It's the
worst
thing ever.
Mate, where I went to school... Across the road, we had this joint called Kinkuna Park. Now, it had a water slide, a little toboggan ride, and about a 5x5 den where two lions lived. And you could hear them roaring at school. We used to think, how cool, they've got lions next door. But you look at it now, and I've been to Africa a few times, not quite in their home domain, the lions in a little 25-meter square little cage.
And that's nothing on Lake's Entrance. It's just more... to do with nature and, I suppose, their natural habitat.
Yeah. Nah, mate, it's going to be a dangerous time. So on that note, you've obviously lost the grand final to us, and I will state again that Victorians are the landlords of the grand final. We're just renting it for the year, so no throwing hate at me. We understand that it's a Melbourne thing, and I don't argue that the grand final should be anywhere other than the MCG. I absolutely love it there. But casting your eye over Western Australia from Melbourne right now, where the doom and gloom and, on the news, I'm sure you see all the footy, the crowds, the parades that's no longer going on, but, all the festivities and stuff. Are you seeing any, positivity in the grand final being in Perth, honestly, or you'd be like, oh, shut the fuck up?
No, not at all. I'm absolutely pumped for it. I think I was ecstatic when it was released that it was going to be in Perth, just with a big crowd. And we've chatted about it every week, but we've seen how much Perth and Optus Stadium can put on an incredible show. We saw it with the Dreamtime. We saw it with the Derby. We've seen it countless amount of times this year. So I'm nothing but ecstatic about it. It needed a crowd there. Even watching on TV, it's so much better when there's people at the game. But... the one thing I am a little bit disappointed is, and I know that the time, factors into this, but I didn't necessarily like the grand final at night time. I think it would have been better to be classic time, maybe a 2 p.m. kickoff or, 1 p.m. kickoff in Perth and then be the twilight in Melbourne. It's just strange having a night game.
I'm absolutely with you that I think traditionally the grand final's 2:10 on a Saturday, and I don't care. And I know people say the lights and, all this sort of bells. I would much rather see the shadows casting over the field halfway through the last quarter when scores are level and you know that the game's nearly out of time than a halftime spectacular with a couple of fluoro lights like I'm at a bloody festival. There's something, it's silly that sounds, when the shadows start going over the field, the temperature drops, you know that, geez, there's not long to go and you're on the edge of your seat. That's just my opinion. 2:10 Saturday, get the shadows over the last quarter and let's do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's where the AFL is meant to be. I saw Damien Barrett saying today it's time to flick the tradition. I definitely disagree with that. I think that we need to get it back to a day game as soon as we can. At least when we're watching it, I'm assuming that it'll still be quite daylight in Perth, is that correct? At a 5:00
Yeah, so
start?
it'll be daylight till about half time, I reckon, Joshy. 5:20, whatever to kick off. Yeah, it'll be half time or half. it's done purely so at halftime it's dark and you get to see all the bells and whistles of Optus Stadium, which is great, which is lovely. But, you know, and it's the grand final. But as I said, I just feel like the bells and whistles can be done at night games of footy. It can be done in the cricket, ODIs, all that sort of stuff. I just feel as though that this is not one of those occasions where we need to break tradition. But I did read, Dill, you'd be happy to know that I'm pretty sure I read today that regardless, next year we're back to 210. So that's good. That's a positivity. Well, actually, hey, one thing while we are on grand final. You go.
You go first.
Talking about grand final and times and all that sort of stuff, did I mention to you last week a 2K time trial for $50,000, winner takes all?
No.
Okay, so grand final sprint, see you later. Goodbye. You know, Dill Buckley's in there, you're not getting your two free grand final tickets to jog up the field 100 metres. So you get a sponsor on board, you get BHP, or one of the biggies, Toyota, I don't give a hoot who it is. You get 50,000 bucks. Think about the young kids who play in your club, who are your best runners. 50 grand cash is a lot of money. And you go, well, I'm going to stay fit through to the grand final because I want to run. I'm the best runner at the footy club. I reckon I'm the best runner in the league. MCG, 100,000, four laps of the MCG, all done and dusted in, 6 minutes? And the winner takes the 50,000. Can you imagine 100,000 cheering Blitzavs v. Isaac Smith v. Sharp or whoever charging home for the last lap? Like, it'd be like the Olympics.
Yeah, it would be like nearly like a long horse race. It'd be unbelievable. I think you're right too. It'd keep blokes fit, and people would actually try hard for it.
Yeah, and I just feel as though, how often in the commentary and stuff do we hear commentators go, "Oh, Dill Buckley, 100-meter sprint finalist," like never. But we always say like, "Oh, Isaac Smith, 2K time trial specialist," or "Mark Blitzav's a specialist at long distance running." And the long distance is like what separates, I think, the AFL from many codes, is the ability to gut run that on those big fields. So I don't know. That's just what I'm proposing for the grand final. Won't happen this year, but I want to see it next year.
I like it. I think there's you could even build this out, and let's not take this too far, but you could even do some real weird events as well. I like it. Let's watch this space and let's maybe patent a couple of our ideas before the AFL steal it. I've got something for you, though. You're a big Seven man. You're the biggest media man in the West. You're undoubtedly the number one favourite people. You know, the voice of Western Australia. Yeah. The people love you. Australia loves you. You're obviously it should have been, what are they called again? Norm Smith medalist.
Norm Smith
which we love. Yeah. So my
saying
question,
all the right things here, Dill. I'm expecting to get cut down at some stage.
My question to you is, what's exciting, and I'm just happy this as a friend and being in your aura, is to hear the exciting role that you will be playing on grand final day, because I'm sure the AFL and Seven have already given you a role for the day. I'm just assuming, and I think the rest of Australia is assuming that as well.
I don't think I'm allowed to say what I'm doing, but by the time this is out, I reckon it might be good. I'm tossing the coin at the start of the game.
Wow! That's actually elite.
Really?
Yeah, up it goes.
That's awesome.
It's like a Toyota coin. It's got like a Kluger or a Camry. Up it goes.
That's so good. Oh, my God. That's awesome. Okay. That's great. Well, that's I'm happy with that.
Ah, cool. Ah, I like it.
It's a load of shit.
Of course it's a load of shit.
Oh, what the fuck? Man, I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what is wrong with me at the moment, but I like believe some of the worst things. Like, I used to be so like switched on. I think I'm actually losing my mind. All right, that's disappointing.
Well, you thought I was going to toss a coin with a Kluger or a Camry on it.
Yeah, that was weird.
Kluger, please.
I said that's a weird flex, not the weirdest thing AFL have done, but it is strange.
Yeah.
So are you doing any boundary riding? Have you got anything sorted?
Not for Seven. So they made the decision a few months ago. So they've got their call team in quarantine and stuff now. But I'll be doing stuff with Triple M. And there's something which I actually can't say. But he's exciting for Triple M. So
awesome.
I'll be doing some pre-game stuff with Seven, pre-game Triple M, and then Triple M on the Saturday on the game. So I did float whether I was allowed to have a couple of stubbies before it, and I don't think that's a go. So I've got a wedding special the night before, which is going to be awkward.
Oh, well, good luck with that. I'm excited.
Actually, have you ever had a wedding or anything that clashes with grand final day? Do you look, mates? I've got about a group chat with six mates in it. There's about 20 of us, but six are going to the wedding of one of the mates in the group chat who actually wrote a letter to the AFL at the end of last year and said, hey, I'm looking to plan my wedding. Could you please let me know when do you plan to have the grand final? And they said, they wrote back, we're going to lock it in October. And he read it as we've locked it in October. So he's booked the grand final for September 25.
Oh, no.
They're refusing to go. They're not going. They're like, we're not going to your wedding. Oh. Anyway, that's the wedding story, and I do wish them all the best. But yeah.
Playing at Carlton, Xavier, just on that, you're sort of pretty safe around grand final time. I haven't had any trouble with that.
Hey, Carlton. Ross Lyon, no. Clarko, but maybe if they just get the luckiest break of their life for the Carlton Football Club. But, mate, the names that are bouncing around, what are you reading from over there about the Blues at the moment?
Yeah.
From an outsider, looks like the greatest cock-up of all time.
Mate, it genuinely is. And I think that the really strange thing about this is, like, the media, you know what it's like, the media's all over it. They know what's happening before. Everything's happening, whether they're leaked or not. You know, they're all over it. They know what's happening. And nothing's even – the media don't even know what to say. Like, they do not even know who to throw up on the short list of who they're looking at. Ross Lyon, no good. He's pulled out. Clarko said, no thanks. Like, realistically, if you're getting paid, you know, 900 grand to do nothing for a year versus 2 mil to do arguably one of the hardest jobs in football.
Hard work.
Like, I'd probably just take the 900, then go coach somewhere next year. So it's a great decision by him. And I really don't know who they're going to get. Like, I really have no idea. It's sort of a little bit concerning, as a Carlton supporter, and each year I find myself turning into a bit more of a nuffy each year. But, they're throwing up Brad Scott's name, which is a little bit strange for me. Like, he's been out of the game for 2 years now, hasn't coached a team for 2 years. A lot changes in one season of footy, let alone two. So, again, I don't know how much he's been keeping up with everything. I know that he's an elite AFL coach, but a lot can change when you're not in the four walls of a football club in that amount of time. So I'd be going for someone that's actually been in the AFL and worked under some successful clubs and coached their own team. So, but who the hell's on that shortlist? Like, I literally have no idea.
Nah. I think I'm similar to you, Dill, a bit of an unpopular opinion, but you're not going to find the next Alistair Clarkson out of the tried coaches. And people say coaches get better the second time round, and that's the opinion of a lot of people in the media. But I think, mate, Alistair Clarkson, he would never have got a goal unless someone, Jason Dunstall, who took a punt on a bloke who was at Port Adelaide, had a limited profile, had coached Central Districts, and they said, nah, let's have a go at this bloke because he's worked his absolute ass off. He's been under Port. He's got some crazy ideas with using the EPL. And they took a punt and they wrote it out. And then sure enough, so I'd be going to Richmond. I'd be going to Brisbane. They've been successful the last 3 years without winning it. Geelong. And just seeing who's there. Like, for example, and I don't even know what this bloke coaches, but Andrew McWalter used to play at St Kilda. And I'm not saying his name, but someone like Andrew McWalter, who is just not the star that you instantly throw up. You think about what they've done at the successful footy club, what they've learnt. They've got no ego. They've got nothing some of the coaches that we saw, the superstars, you know, they were always coaching to try and outcoach their playing careers, and they never get there because their playing careers were so exceptional. Someone like an Andrew McWalter, now I'm not using his name, I just know he's a coach at Richmond, but someone like that, like, find, dig, you might find a gold nugget somewhere.
And it's funny, isn't it? Like, it's not a rule here, but I've never really thought that champion players become champion coaches, because it's being a champion player, it's not relevant for 90% of the list. So you don't know what the other 90% of your list is actually going through, for one. So I've never really liked that transition. And I don't think it's actually worked that well. I think Nathan Buckley, the reason he was a successful coach was because he started to work that out and he really bought in. He developed as a person and we saw the way he changed. So I would actually love Nathan Buckley at Carlton. I don't know if the Carlton Faithful would accept him from what's happened with Mick Moldhouse. But, yeah, we could talk about this all day. And just quickly on this, because I am fired up about it, is I think that Carlton did have that coach 2 years ago with Brendan Bolton. Like, and I think they just gave up on it too easily. I just think he was a great coach. Okay. I think that he had all the crazy ideas. He had a lot of passion, but he probably just didn't have someone to help him harness that and, you know, help him put his energy to where he wanted to go. So it would look, he's never going to go back to Carlton, but I'd love to see Bolts get another senior gig one day because I reckon he would have learnt so much from that first crack. And he's a pretty crazy switched on unit when it comes to coaching. I reckon he's got what it takes.
So someone explained to me the other day about Carlton, we will move on, that the sugar hit the Teague train that took off early days was Brendan Bolton was the footy head, the real footy head, the little bit different sort of stuff. Footy, and it can be a little bit tiresome. And eventually, once he was sacked, Teague comes in, and I'm not saying the standards drop, but the footy weirdness disappears, and then they get that sugar hit of something different. And then once the sugar hit's gone, they're like, right, now you've actually got a coach. And so Brendan Bolton, the it was a little bit of fool's gold, I suppose, was the sugar hit that they got off going to Teague. And just one was a footy, as you said, the word nuffy. Like, Bolts is a nuffy for footy. Absolutely loves it. I knew him at Hawthorn. Loved it all his life. And then Teague came through and just had the different sort of standards. And I think, I just reckon, go find that. Chris Fagan's another one, Dill, who's was a little bit left of centre, wasn't the star, didn't even play. Been around the club, been around the scene, and a bloody good bloke.
Last one on this, because there's so much coming out of this. This could be our whole episode today, X. But if I hear one more thing about a relationship, you're going to have to work this out, Joshy. If I hear one more thing about a relationship coach, I'm going to spew, okay? You don't need a relationship. What is a relationship coach for one? What are you doing? Like, are you telling each other how – like, you don't need that. You don't need a best friend as your coach. You need someone you respect and is going to be honest with you, okay? That's the two things that you need. Every single person that works in a professional career would know the boss isn't going to be your best mate. So I don't get this theory around, like, relationship coaches. I was probably dropped more than anyone, and I should have a bad, like – recommendation of coaches, but I don't want to be best mates with my coach. I just want my coach to be honest with me. Yeah. I want him to tell me what I need to hear and get on with it. We don't need to be best friends.
On being dropped the most still, so Thursday was usually the double teams come out on Thursday. How was the news broken to Carlton and Giants players that they were dropped? Would Leon Cameron linger? Would someone come get you? How would it be done at your footy club? Because at West Coast, it was you just knew the writing was on the wall, and I'll tell you after you go.
Yeah, look, I was always very self-aware. I knew what was happening, but it was just the worst because you'd always have to wait to the end of the day, and you're in the last weights group, and especially at Leon's, like the his office sort of looked out into the weights room, so you could just see him get up and he'd start making his way through the weights group and talking to everyone, and you just know if they don't walk past you, like, and they don't grab you, it's, you know, it's no good. But if they come to you straight away, you're probably getting dropped.
Yeah, mate, we used to have this guy called Benny Sharman who was Simo's, like, right-hand man. And weights must have been every footy club on a Thursday afternoon. And you'd be in the weights room and Benny Sharman would come in and you could just see, like, you'd stand at the door and you'd look around. He was only a small fella and he'd spot who he wanted and you'd sit there and you'd go, he's got him. And then they'd drag him to Simo's office and Simo would drop you. Or you'd be in the ice bins and you'd be sitting there and Benny Sharman walk over and the ice bins would be full of like 10 blokes and you'd go, fuck, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? And be like, X, can I just grab you for a second, mate? You're like, shit, yeah, no worries, I'll be in 5. And then sometimes you'd go in there and they'd be like, oh, X, just let you know I want you to tag this weekend or we're going to play half-4. You're like, in the AFL? And they're like, yeah, oh, shit, I'm not dropped. Righto, off you go. It was always fun. Talking about players that never got dropped, Dill. Sean Burgoyne.
Yes.
I just read Sean Burgoyne has chosen to go back to Port Adelaide. Now, absolutely, after 400 games, there would have been a million offers on the table for Silk. What was your out when you knew footy was coming to an end? What job offers were floating around for you? Were footy clubs asking for a hand? Like, Sean would have had 17 other clubs or 18 other clubs. I suppose maybe even Hawthorn might have said, hey, can you stay? What were the options for you?
I actually, funny, I've never thought about this since until now, like until it's been like 4 years since I left Carlton. But when I left Carlton, I got delisted the first time. There was two times I got delisted. The first time I got delisted from Carlton, they actually offered me, like, they're like, look, we still want you to be around. Like, we'd love for you to come and, like, work in, like, the corporate department upstairs and be, like, the in the sales team and basically just go out and, like, schmooze clients and, like, go out to dinners and stuff and then play in the VFL. And I was like, fuck, I actually really like the job. But there's no chance I'm playing VFL, like, at all. Like, I just don't want to do that. So I, you know, declined that job. And I just thought it would be a little bit weird sort of working in a place that you worked at a year ago and it'd be very different. But, it was pretty scary. Like, in all honesty, when I finished, like, I was cooked. Like, I had no idea what I was going to do. If I didn't get drafted again to the Giants, like, I seriously wake up sometimes and think it's been all a dream.
Funny, I reckon AFL, and it gets you in a position that you generally, and people say you land on your feet, but I think you've done enough work, like, in a professional organisation, meeting expectations, dealing with corporates, that, you land on your feet, but you've actually done the work that, as daunting as it is leaving a football club, that there's not many who I was friendly with, and you look at it and go, you're actually going to survive leaving a footy club. You'll be okay. But you absolutely pack the dacks thinking, oh, no, I'm going to be on the dole. I can't do anything else. Who else is going to need me? But then, like, 2 years later, 4 years later, 6 years later, you're like, oh, yeah, I used to do footy back in the day. Yeah, move on. Now you've just got a completely different life. It's bloody good.
My last season at the Giants, like, I knew that I was getting the arse. And I pretty much had, like, a six-month, like, retirement plan, like, working out what I was going to do. Yeah. I was meeting with, like, jobs. I'd try to get all my financials in order. I'd worked out, like, where I was going to live when I moved back to Melbourne and just sort of really set myself up so that it was going to be as easy as possible. And I think I learned that from the first time. You know, it's a different situation for every player, but I think it's really crazy. Like, you know this, X, like, some people that you think are going to transition really well, they go straight into the workforce and they just find jobs and they're hard workers and it doesn't matter where they are, they do it. But then you find other people, it just takes a lot longer. And that's not just AFL, that's just life. I think in any workplace, it's a bloody underrated thing to get a new job.
The amount of times mates had said to me, like, when they have their first performance review from the new company they're working for or whatever, and it might be a 10-categorized thing, you know, relationships, work ethic, clients, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, you know, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10. And then they get into like one that's like, look, we've rated you 7 out of 10 on this. And, you know, I hope that's okay. And you're like, Clarko used to say he was going to punch me in the head. Like, mate, 7 out of 10, you beauty.
That's
the amount of times, people go, just the feedback you used to get as a player, and I'm joking, Clark, I never threatened to punch me in the head, but, like, the feedback you used to get was so direct, so blunt, and between your eyes. Mate, the corporates, when they drop feedback on you, they tiptoe around the softest things. Like, you're just like, mate, I've copped 11 years of getting bashed from coaches. Yep. Just rip the Band-Aid off, it's fine. Mate, before we do go, we better touch on this week's games.
Yes. Oh, yeah,
Friday night over here, Optus Stadium. I think you and I are both on this same wagon, but the Mighty D's v. the Cats. Who do you win and why? Who do you see winning and why?
I'm going with Brisbane this week. No, I'm joking.
Thanks,
I'm joking.
Jess.
That was silly. Just in reference, I absolutely butchered a radio segment on Xavier's segment last week. Anyway, and I'm doing it again now. I'm going to go with the Cats. Really excited for them. I think the best thing about the Cats at the moment, which is exciting, is Joel Selwood, like, obviously a gun and is, you know, dominating still, but he's not at the same as what he was. So they're not relying on Selwood and Dangerfield. Mitch Duncan is the Rolls Royce of the competition. Still, I don't understand how he doesn't get talked about enough, but if I challenge you to find any player that comes off an 8 to 12 week injury and comes in and performs the way he has. And then that younger brigade that they've probably been challenged by a little bit when you talk about guys like Brad Close, Jack Henry, even Jed Buse, you know, the way he's playing at the moment is some crucial role. So I'm loving it. And your boy, Tommy Hawkins, mate, he's wind back the clock. It's like he's 25 years old again.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it is unbelievable. Like, I was watching that game the other day, and he did say, I remember, I'm sure you watched, remember when Sam Taylor got Hawkins like 3 weeks ago and had like 17 intercept disposals and all that sort of stuff? And I spoke to Hawk after the game. He goes, mate, I know this sounds really stupid, and I got beaten. I got absolutely torped by Sam Taylor, like smashed. And as soon as the young kid beats you, people are trying to finish you up. But he goes, I could have kicked four. I could have kicked four, no dramas. And I'm like, yeah, mate, yeah, cool. Fingers crossed, I could have kicked four my ass. And he just like goes, yeah, look, there was one occasion where I'm just picking a play now. You know, Danger stubbed his toe kicking it and kicked it out in the full, and I had 15 metres on him there. The next one, Mitch Duncan, who didn't play, I don't think. Mitch Duncan ran forward, had a ping, and I was in the goal square by myself. Sam Taylor had slipped over. Or, you know, there was these occasions. In the back of his head, like, he knew he'd been beaten and beaten soundly, but he's like, say I get three goals at least. Like, I'm beaten, but not destroyed like he was. So on Friday night, Guthrie's hitting him lace out on the tit. I think Mitch Duncan maybe squared him up one. Another kick was to his, you know, advantage side. Like, the service was so much different. And you go, shit, he was probably right the first time we spoke. But I'm with you, mate. Geelong, no Tom Stewart, which is fine, because Zach Tui is not fine, obviously. But Tom Stewart didn't play last time. Inclusions, Mitch Duncan, Zach Tui. I think all the pressure is on Melbourne. Like, over here, Dill, I don't know if it's like in Melbourne, but, like, it's almost like they're talking as though they're a dynasty team that's, you know, gone through undefeated sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's, look, I think it's going to be an incredible game. It's anyone's game to win, which is obvious, but I do think Geelong will win. But in saying that, it's anyone's game. But the one thing this whole final series in this top four that you have to consider and consider if you want as a benefit or as a loss, but Geelong have been in 10 of the last 10 finals, pretty much series.
Yeah,
whereas Melbourne, Port Adelaide and Bulldogs, they've been in and out and have very minor finals experience compared to these other two teams, which at the end of the day, being there and being comfortable on these stages, it does help in these situations. And that's why I think Cats will go all the way, just when you look at the experience from the other three teams.
And another thing that, just to add to it, I had a text from my mate who's a mad Melbourne Nuffy, like mad as you get. And the whole school I went to were full of Melbourne supporters. But he texts saying, nah, I'm so confident. I just reckon Petrarca and Oliver are better than Selwood and Dangerfield these days. And I'm like, yeah, but Joel's their fourth best midfielder these days. Like Duncan, Guthrie, Danger. And he's like, oh, yeah, shit, I'm caught in the mode of, like, Joel being the best. Whereas if he's your fourth or fifth best midfielder, maybe even fifth at the moment with Menegola going well, Isaac Smith's going well. So, like, Joel is just there for leadership. And, like, when he turns up to a stoppage, you know you got Joel Selwood there, so he's so much more confident. So, all right, we've both gone the Geelong Cats there. Bont and Pally, a doubt on him playing. Bont, an injured Bont and the Bulldogs v Port Adelaide on a Saturday night, mate. Who are you going?
Yeah, this is a big one. I can't split these teams, but if I'm forced to pick, I'm actually going to go with the Doggies, despite the fact that Bont might not be out there. I'm a big fan of, I don't know if it's just because I'm a bit of a romantic, but I like the feel of momentum and staying in the game. So
yeah,
I don't necessarily think the week off does a lot for you, especially when you're a team that might not be as confident. Or you let that soften your resolve going into a home final in front of a home crowd. You've had the week off. Everyone's feeling fresh. You think it's going to happen. And then, you know, the team that played last week who got beat up, you know, they're going to come over here sore. They've got to travel. Like, I feel like sometimes that creeps into the mind of these teams. So,
yeah,
I'm going with the Doggies.
Well, I think Port Adelaide do a number on them. I think they've got two outstanding players. I reckon Bokes hasn't even been as good as what he has been. I reckon Ollie Wines is their star. And then from Ollie Wines, player number 2 to 22, I just reckon they are so even, like unbelievably even, Port Adelaide. And I think there's no passengers in that team at all. I think that they get the job done at home.
And I feel like with Port, I'm still going to back in the Dogs, but I feel like with Port, they have like one of the most healthy lists. There's not really anyone that's out at the moment. Like it's pretty.
So Georgiades had a hamstring, but he played SANFL last week, so he missed a week or missed two. Played SANFL, so even he's available for selection. Which, like, they've got selection headaches.
Hamish Hartlett hasn't been able to get into the team either.
Yeah, I love Hamish Hartlett. I think he's an absolute ripper.
Is it too late to go back, mate, and pick Port?
Nah, he locked in, and he.
Yeah, I locked in. No, I locked in. I'm going Dogs.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well done. Unfortunately, again, another week we haven't done much in your own life, but rooting for you and sit back, legs up, and that hair looks good. So enjoy the rest of your week, mate, and enjoy the footy.
Thank you, gentlemen. Looking forward to it, and I'll chat to you soon.
Well, there's another episode of the Loose Ballers. Please sit back and enjoy the footy this weekend. The Loose Boys Ballers are always here thanks to Mazda and the brand new BT50. It's the complete package. And, of course, another podcast on the way, The Good Chat with Daniel Bandy. I once went to a game at Etihad, Elstradome, whatever it was called. Daniel Bandy absolutely dominated for Fremantle Dockers. Anyway, sit back and enjoy it.